Hello, lovers.
My name's Alex.
And I'm Helena.
And you are listening to Generation Loveless,
a weekly podcast where we discuss the trials and tribulations of love in an internet-obsessed world.
We share our stories of bad Tinder dates, sexual awakenings, self-care, heartbreak and healing, and everything in between. So, join us on this roller coaster of dating in the millennial age because it is one wild ride.
And we want to hear from you. Send us your stories, questions, and opinions. You can either send us a DM on Instagram at generation.loveless or shoot us an email at generationloveless@gmail.com. All right, let's dive into this week's episode.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi, welcome back.
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, are you?
I'm so excited to tell you about my fascinating dating life.
Yeah, we've had some encounters since our last recording, and I feel like I want to hear a little update on your dating life, Alex.
Well,
talk to me.
Let me tell you, I went on this awesome date. He was 45 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
Which Helena knows because I was
texting the whole time. So, what about before you even, because I feel like it's important to also say what happened previously.
Okay, background is that I was working at this restaurant. We have another location. And basically, our coworkers set us up.
Yeah.
You know, had us exchange numbers, whatever.
You guys saw each other from across the room.
Yeah, I went into his restaurant one day and couldn't stop staring at him, and vice versa. So we knew that we wanted to know who, you know, one another was. And so I got his number. Mm-hmm. I texted him. So I initiated, which is also a good thing to know about the story. And we texted for a few weeks. He was on tour, which is my weakness.
I was going to say, there's a little bit of fantasy fulfillment.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're texting back and forth, trying to make a plan. And we had set a day to go on a date, and he canceled the day of, saying that he had really bad, you know, he had some injury problems, which is fine.
Didn't he say before, like, this is what I remember had bothered me, that he was like, oh, are you okay to just lay low tonight?
Yeah.
And if you remember, I was kind of skeptical about that. I didn't like that.
Right. You were getting your hair done.
Yeah.
Texted you that.
Yeah.
And Billy.
Yeah.
Your hairdresser.
Billy had an opinion too.
Yeah, you both were like, fuck no.
Yeah.
He needs to be putting in more effort than that.
Yeah.
Understandably. So, anyways, he canceled because he had an injury, and then rescheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wait for him, which I probably shouldn't have waited that long. I think in the future, I'm not going to ever wait that long again.
What do you mean? Waited for him to
show up to the date.
Oh, you
and
mean,
without okay. giving me a big heads up. Like, I was one that was like, hi, I'm here. And he was like, oh no, I'm gonna be getting out of work a little late, but it wasn't very clear. Like, a little late's like, I usually think, whatever, 10 minutes.
Right.
But like 45 minutes, that's a whole new.
And you arrived at the restaurant and waited for a certain amount of time before reaching out to him and then him telling you that he was going to be late?
Right.
Ugh, come on, bro.
Yeah.
And he's 29. Get it together.
Yeah, clearly he doesn't have it together. So anyways, the date was fine. I felt like we had a good time. We got coffee, hung out for a long time. We got together probably almost 5 o'clock, and we were just talking, getting to know each other,
mm-hmm.
probably until like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was a long date.
It was a long date.
I was wondering where you were.
Because
I wasn't pissed. I was just wondering where you were.
Yeah, just chatting away.
I was so mad at
my time.
Him. I was so mad at him at this point. I hated the kid.
That's understandable. I mean, there's a lot to dislike about this whole situation.
Right.
So we went our separate ways, and the end of the date was important because I said, you know, I had a really good time, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I had a really good time too. You know, I would love to see you again. And I was kind of waiting for him to make a plan right then and there. And this was someone that, as you know, I already had kind of the idea, especially with him arriving 45 minutes late, that he has Peter Pan syndrome. You know, he like doesn't want to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to do what he wants when he wants. And so he just didn't, you know, make the plan. So I was like, all right, good night. And then it was after that I was walking away and he basically grabbed me and was like, hold on, wait. And then we made out. So dramatic. But yeah, and then I never heard from him. And so I was left a little confused.
Yeah,
no. Mixed messages. So I texted him and I was like, yo, brah.
How long did you wait to text him?
Probably a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Week and a half about.
Yeah.
And I was just really clear. I want to know. Like, I would like someone to tell me. If they're not interested,
right?
Let me know, because you told me that you really liked hanging out and that you'd love to see me again.
And that's what you thought, too. You, after the date, you said to me, yeah, there was chemistry. Yeah, he mentioned hanging out again. And that was the impression that he gave you. And I feel like specifically saying, I want to see you again is, right, to some extent leading someone on if that's
not. Well, that, but also, like, kind of stopping me in my tracks, like, pulling me back in and then making out with
that's
me.
That's fucking dramatic.
Yeah, super, right?
It is.
So, anyways, I just let him know that, you know, since I hadn't heard from him, you know, I figured he wasn't interested, but I wanted clarity.
Yeah.
And that was the case. There was a displacement of energy.
Right. Tell us what he said. When you texted him, tell us what you said and tell us what he said.
I said, like, I had a really nice time hanging out, but since not hearing from you, you know, I figured that you were no longer interested. I just feel a little confused and left hanging. Like, could I, basically, like, could you clarify? Or if you're not interested, that's fine.
Just let me know.
Just let me know. Right. And he said in this a little bit of a roundabout way, but because he hadn't heard from me,
he assumed
I wasn't interested either, which right. means he wasn't either.
Right.
And then I just didn't respond, and then he texted me this long message of, you know, that he had a really nice time getting together with me, but that he just felt there was a displacement of energy. And that his mind is just in a million different places right now, and he's really focused on his music, and he would be doing a disservice if he continued, you know, seeing me or whatever, which is fair. I just would have liked to know that maybe, like, 10 days prior to that.
Yeah.
Clarification, but...
So, what's interesting about this interaction is that it sort of left me with the same question, and Alex and I have been practicing this in our own dating lives, but when is it appropriate to ask for clarification, and also, when is it your responsibility to let the other person know that you're not interested?
Right.
And I put a poll on my Instagram, not Generation Loveless, because we haven't launched that yet, but we will be soon, and you should follow us. But I put it on my personal Instagram, and I said, if you're not interested in someone after one date, should you just straight out let that person know?
And
it overwhelmingly, what did most people say? Yeah, a lot of people voted in it, and overwhelmingly people said, yes, you should.
Okay.
And I think that what's interesting about that is that's what they say, but how many people really practice what they preach, or at least right. practice what they believe in theory?
Right, and now why don't you tell us what's your dating experience on.
Yeah,
was.
So I decided to go on Bumble, and I found this one guy who I thought looked really worldly and interesting and attractive, and what's interesting, too, is that I built this idea of him in my head based on what his profile said, what our interaction on Bumble was, and what his pictures were. I had this whole idea of him as, like, suave and smooth and worldly, and that was based on the curated profile,
right.
which it's the unfortunate part of online dating is that you can stalk this person, and I did. I found his LinkedIn, and I saw where he worked.
Oh, yeah. We found him on Facebook.
Yeah, we found him on Facebook.
Sorry, we're kind of stalkers, but whatever.
Whatever. Everyone does it. And so I built this whole idea of him, and I had this whole expectation of what he was going to be like. So inevitably, someone is either going to let you down, or they're going to blow your mind.
The latter. Blow your mind.
That was dramatic. I have a tendency to be dramatic. Most of the time, they just let you down, though. Oh, God, I'm True. Getting so cynical.
It's fine.
So I went on this date, and right away, he was attractive. Like, I'll give him that. But he was very serious, and he seemed very awkward and nervous to me. And I pretty much had to lead the date, I would say. I had to do the majority of the talking, and I tried to, like, you know, get some banter going and lighten the mood, I guess.
That sucks. And so you were the one asking, like, the majority of the questions.
And telling the majority of the stories and trying to get the flirtation going.
Yeah.
And I don't know, but I still gave him, in my mind, a chance to redeem himself because I was thinking that maybe he was just shy and nervous and awkward. And so at the end of the date, he kind of was going to lean in to kiss me, I think, but I kind of went for the hug. Classic. And he said, okay, next time we hang out, we should go to Lolita, which is the bar in the building that I live in. And from that, I assumed, similarly to your situation, okay, he's going to make plans with me. He's going to text me and make plans, and we're going to see each other again, and I'm going to give him another chance, and we'll see. So I had a pretty positive expectation, or I don't know.
Yeah, you had a good feeling about it, but what was also interesting is that after the date, you were saying that you didn't really know how you felt it went.
That's me not trusting myself. I think in my gut, I knew it wasn't there. I think chemistry is one of those things that you mm-hmm. do know right away, and I was trying to maybe just go a different way about it, and I don't know, thinking that maybe it could build over time, maybe that's healthier, because a lot of my relationships in the past have been pretty dysfunctional, so I don't trust myself.
True.
Yeah. So you're kind of similar, so we were both like, oh yeah, maybe this is healthy.
Yeah, maybe it will build, maybe chemistry will come in some time.
Right.
Even though I think I am coming to learn, like, you really do just kind of have it.
Or you don't.
Or you don't.
Yeah, I agree now. But at the time, I was thinking that maybe, you know, maybe it would build over time. But then I don't hear from him. And I did text him after the date and I said, hey, thanks for drinks, which is something that I usually do if I had a good time. I don't know, just to kind of let them know I'm interested. And he responded, and I expected to hear from him. This was a Tuesday. I expected to hear from him for, like, weekend plans if he was interested. I did not hear from him for 6 days. And that struck me as really bizarre, and by the fourth or fifth day, I assumed he wasn't interested, and that was that, and we weren't going to see each other, and then I hear from him on the sixth day, almost a week later, and I had written him off. I had already, in my mind, written him off, and he said something like, I'm doing great, but I'll be better once I see you again, which was awkward as it was. Stop trying so hard. And so,
especially after not talking to you at all.
I know. Sitting there wondering, are you trying to make me feel confused? You know?
Yeah.
And based on that Instagram poll that I put up, how everyone told me I should tell someone if I'm not interested, I sent him a message, very polite, and just said, you seem like a really great guy and had a great time with you. However, I don't have the time or energy right now for dating, but I wish you the best. And he never responded.
Yeah.
And that was that.
That was that.
So both of us had different experiences, but parallel in that we're kind of learning. I guess I think communication is so important.
I think, you know, I know it makes me feel better, especially even if I'm the one, like, in your shoes, I'm the one that's not interested and I know that I don't want to see that person again. I don't feel good about leaving it hanging.
Me neither.
Even if it's a possibility that I will never hear from them again,
yeah,
it's still, like, some sort of mental space that I just want to be, like, no, like, get out.
Clear,
like,
conscience.
I just want you to know,
yeah,
I'm not interested. Bye. And then that's that. And I never have to think about that person again.
Agreed.
But I think just, like, leaving it a little, you know, even to some people, how it's not leaving it, quote unquote, open, it feels that way if I'm not telling them. I don't know. It's just... And I feel like a lot of people do really appreciate that, you know.
I think
so,
too.
He seems really shy and awkward, honestly, because I've had other guys that I've said, you know, hey, I didn't feel like we had a lot of chemistry or I'm not interested. And I've always gotten, like, a
good response.
Thank you so much. Like, I appreciate that.
I've gotten salty responses, to be honest with you. But I feel like this is actually a really good segue into our sort of topic of the day. I mean, we've spent a lot of time talking about this, but luckily it kind of goes hand in hand with what we wanted to focus on today. So we found these two different articles. One was Fox, one was Bold.com. And they defined a bunch of millennial dating jargon, I guess. I think the first one we should talk about is ghosting.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's sort of the opposite of what we're talking about right now, and it feels so badly to be ghosted.
Right, and well, this definition that we found, too, was a little bit different than what I've even, you know, assumed to be ghosting.
I don't believe it. they're defining it in this way that...
Well, right, most of this is pretty subjective. It's not right. Like I can go in the dictionary and like, search the actual definition of ghosting.
I think ghosting just means that you're seeing someone in some capacity or talking and they stop. They just don't tell you why they drop off the face of the earth.
Exactly.
I think that's a ghost.
Totally. Or, yeah, exactly.
So, I guess my question is, because according to this article, 78% of millennials admit to being ghosted. My question is, why is this a problem with us, with millennials?
Well, I've definitely been ghosted.
Same.
I know you have too. I think that, you know, because we do have this aspect of a lot of us are talking to each other through texting or through messaging of some capacity, that we have a really easy time of just like stopping that and thinking it's okay.
Without feeling the consequence of it,
Yeah. You know,
yeah, that's a good
people
point.
Can block your number, people can stop following you.
You don't have to face them to see their reaction.
Right, which is really, really fucking annoying. Yeah, I mean, that really makes me angry because I know that even though it might be easier to do these days with how we communicate through, you know, phones and social media, it's not like I'm like, oh, yay, go us. We can, you know, have an easier time. Basically not facing confrontation, which I think
is a really
important
point.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, and, you know, by basically doing the opposite and telling someone, even that you've only gone out on one date with, like, hey, I'm actually not interested, instead of just disappearing, I feel like that's a maturity.
I think so, too. And I think that we do have a greater responsibility with such constant communication nowadays to let people know, to be more communicative. And because my parents have told me before in the 80s or whenever the fuck they grew up, whenever they were dating, that if you went on a date with someone, you might never hear from them again. That was a comment. I guess that was the ghosting of that time.
Huh.
However, I don't think it's really as similar because, like you said, we can communicate with people all the time. I think with that comes a responsibility.
Right.
I think it does. Probably not everyone would agree, but in my opinion, it does. And I wonder, too, you were talking about how we're not really trained in confrontation anymore. A lot of our uncomfortable arguments or fights or whatever
difficult conversations
happen over text now or over technology.
Right, and
what is that doing to us?
Right. Well, I think it's making it harder for us to just do it, which I feel like that's really just a level. You have to be at a certain level with yourself of like honesty,
yeah,
and facing difficulties.
Well, it honestly reminds me of my breakup.
Yeah.
This whole conversation is reminding me of my breakup. Basically, I was in a relatively serious, committed relationship, and we had a sort of difficult couple days, but we stayed up all night and talked through it, or so I thought, and I thought that everything was fine again, and we had worked through our issues, but then he goes home, doesn't text me all night. The next day, I call him. I knew something was wrong in my gut, and I keep calling him until he answers. And finally he answers, acts normal, acts like everything is okay. And then I bring it up. I'm saying, hey, like, are we okay? Are you still feeling upset from our fight the other night? And that's when he says, actually, no, I don't think this is going to work. That was about the extent of our conversation. And I'm sitting there wondering, if I hadn't brought it up, would we still be together?
That's crazy. True.
Right. And then I go home thinking, okay, that wasn't a breakup. That was a 30-second phone call. So obviously there's going to be more to this, you know, than just this 30-second breakup call. But by the time I got home an hour or two later, he had blocked me from all social media. This person that I was in a serious relationship with, who, like, half of his stuff is at my fucking apartment.
Too. It's not like it was just, like,
well, almost a year, yeah. All his shit's in my apartment, you know, our lives are pretty intertwined at this point. He blocks me on all social media, and that's it. Completely unreachable.
Yeah.
I had a fucking panic attack over that shit. That is not okay to do to someone.
I mean, and that's ghosting on, like, a whole nother level,
yeah, that's too. Ghosting 2.0.
It's insane. That really is crazy.
I know. Fuck him. If you're listening right now.
Yeah. Well, some of these other terms, you know, obviously I think ghosting's so popular, we use it a lot, but some of these other terms that we found, like breadcrumbing, I'd never heard of that.
What is that again?
Breadcrumbing, it occurs when someone is sending your, like, flirtatious text messages, but showing that through social media in a way of, like, liking your pictures or commenting on your photos.
Okay.
Or even messaging, but nothing's actually coming out of it. Like, this doesn't mean that they're asking you out on a date. It's just, like, consistently, like,
yeah,
you know,
flirting, hey, yeah, planting attention, the seed.
Like, here
that's what I
am.
Think that is. I think that's what that is. It's asking for attention, I think.
Exactly.
It's wanting validation, but not...
asking for attention or just saying from a distance, like, I like you. Or, like...
or you're hot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I don't even really care.
Right. I'm not trying to date you. I just...
yeah. Some people get off on that shit. I know.
Gross. I mean, I really haven't... well, that's not true. I can't say I've never done that. There have been moments...
me too.
...where I have definitely, you know, liked someone's photos.
That's fairly innocent.
It is, for the most part. Or, like, I've liked... not only have I liked someone's photos, but I've also started, you know, chatting with them a little bit. But I have no... I really have no intention of dating them.
Yeah.
Well, and it is... I mean, I'm guilty.
Me too.
I'm confessing.
Well, I have a question. So one of the other terms on here is micro-cheating, and this kind of just reminded me of that. So micro-cheating, do you think, what's your opinion on, you're in a serious relationship with someone, and let's say heterosexual relationship, and he likes other girls' pictures,
so selfies. He's breadcrumbing.
Maybe. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think if your boyfriend is liking some girl's selfies? Does that bother you? People have varying opinions on this, so I'm curious about
yours.
Okay,
well, I think if it fits under the definition of breadcrumbing, which is, like, kind of getting off on it, you know, or, like, flirting.
How would you know, though, if it's just a like? But they consistently like a bunch of girls' pictures, or...
ah, that's so scary.
Or this is something that I see happen all the time, like pictures on... like, Barstool Babe of the Day, or whatever the fuck those stupid Instagrams are, like, bikini pictures of some model.
Right.
I don't like that. You can look... you know what? Here's my opinion. Fucking look at it all you motherfucking want. Why do you need to like it? I had an ex who...
because... oh, go ahead.
No, say it. Well, you had a light bulb.
I just feel like because they want to get their attention. They want that girl to be like...
wait, but what if it's an Instagram model?
Okay, well, what if she likes his comment of liking it? Or, okay, I guess commenting is a whole next level.
What are you, like, a 50-year-old
I don't
parent?
Know.
Did she like his like?
Fuck you. I guess what I'm trying to say is it does become sketchy if...
I agree.
...like, they keep doing that. Like, aren't they kind of secretly wanting to get a little bit of attention from that girl somehow?
I don't
Even
know.
Even if it's just through the internet...
I don't know, but I'll tell you.
Back.
I'll tell you. Well, yeah. I'll tell you my particular experience with that. I was dating this guy, and we were in a fight, a big fight. And I looked on Instagram, and I'm one of those few people who looks at the activity feed, you know, where you can see what people like.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people don't do that. I do that.
It's fun.
I really am curious. And you find a lot about people based on what pictures they like. And I saw my fucking boyfriend liked a picture of some porn star in a bikini straddling
no.
a chair, eating a banana.
No!
In a bikini.
Ugh.
With, like, massive fake tits. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? This is so disrespectful to me, your girlfriend.
Yeah.
But he was like, oh, I didn't even realize I did that. For him, it was so mindless.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it must be a really mindless thing.
I don't like that. Is that micro-cheating? No, I guess not.
See, I don't think that's micro-cheating. When I think of micro-cheating, which is, you know, I hadn't necessarily heard of micro-cheating, but I've heard of emotional cheating, which is basically the same thing, which constitutes of small acts that result in having an emotional attraction to someone else while keeping it secret from your partner.
So you're talking to this person, you're not necessarily, like, hooking up with them, but you're talking to them in an emotionally vulnerable way, and you don't tell your partner.
Right. Which, like I've said, I think that if you're keeping a secret from your partner, then there's probably something to that.
I agree.
Like, and whether you're getting, you know, you're getting some sort of, like, emotional need met by this person or whatever, I can say in my experience that micro-cheating has led to physical cheating.
Same.
So it's like, what's the... There's a fine line. Yeah, I just feel like it's the step. Like, basically, I don't know, something's not right if you have to go micro-cheat, or if you're in a relationship and one person is micro-cheating.
Agreed. On the other. Agreed.
I don't know, however, if liking...
a picture constitutes as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well...
It's still aggravating.
Yeah. Okay, we don't have that much time left because we're trying to keep it short. So, let's talk about benching. Have you heard of this
benching.
Term?
Benching. I also hadn't heard of benching.
I like this term and I want to use this
term.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It's basically when you've gone on dates with someone and, you know, you become attracted to them, they keep talking to you and sort of, like, leading you on, and you kind of think that there's still something there, but they're not actually making plans to see you again. And so the way that this article is describing it, they're saying, just like a sports team puts the guy on a bench. Okay, who wrote this? We put our dates on reserve almost like a backup option. I don't know why I read it in that voice.
No, well, yeah, it's because, like, that person, it's like they don't want to let them go, but they also
want to see who else is out there. Have you done this?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Have I done this? Not that I can...
remember.
Right now, yeah. I mean, I feel like this has been... I've had this happen to me.
Same,
for sure. And I think it's way more popular today with online dating.
Yeah, we feel like we have all these different options all the time. Whether that's true or not, we feel that way.
Actually, you know, the summer fling I had last summer...
Which one?
Whose name I will not say starts with an S... So that person basically did that. They're kind of open about it, though. They're like, I really like you. I'm just keeping my options open, and I'm seeing a couple other people, and I'll make a decision later.
I don't like that.
Like, actually, which part of me is like, cool, thanks for the honesty.
Right, true.
But I just feel like, I don't know, it's part of, benching is part of
our new...
dating life, clearly, since there's lingo for it.
Yeah, I can't remember a specific time that I've done that, but I'm sure I have in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more. I kind of want to talk about this one.
The labia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
me too.
It sounds like labia.
It's labia.
But it's labia. Labia.
And that is someone who's in a relationship, but that's not happy about it.
Yeah. And so what they do is they keep someone as, like, I don't know how to say it, as collateral. No, not as how do you describe this? Describe it, Alex.
Well, basically, you're keeping them on the sidelines.
You're keeping them waiting in the wings.
Wow, the metaphor is not coming, but basically, I'm just gonna use myself for an example, because I actually think I've been a labia in the past.
You've been the labier or the labia?
I've been a labia.
Okay.
I've been a labia because I have stayed in a relationship that I know I'm not happy in.
No, I think you're the labier in that circumstance.
So the labia is the
labia is the person you're keeping there for when you break up.
Okay, I'm the labier then.
Okay.
And I have stayed in a relationship. I know I wanted to be out of it. Not happy, whatever, and I have waited until I had someone lined up to go jump to.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's see. A labia isn't altogether available right at this moment, but plans to be soon and likes to have someone waiting in the wings.
We so, all know no, this
I am the labia, dude.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm the labia.
I fucked up.
Anyways.
I fucked up.
That was back in my not-so-healthy days.
Right. Yeah, we all know this person who can't be alone. They can't be single. Right. So they're not happy, but they're staying in their relationship until they have something secured to jump into another relationship after. Yep.
Also, I think is more common just because... Maybe, I don't know if it's more common.
I know people who do that.
Well, I do too, but I wonder if it's more common in our generation.
I don't know.
To do that versus...
The previous? Yeah, I don't know. Well, guys, that's all we have time for today.
Goodbye. Yeah, thanks for tuning in. And also, as always, we'd love to hear what's going on with you, your dating life, anything that you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah.
Or add to the conversation. We know that we're a small percentage of perspective.
We're
two white girls.
Two white straight girls. Yeah.
Yeah,
privileged little bitches. No, but honestly, we really want to make this interactive, and we want you to follow us on Instagram and send us any sort of interaction, whether that be a sound clip of your story, whether you write it out in a DM, whatever that may be, we want to hear from you.
Absolutely. A topic that you want us to explore.
Yeah, please. Questions, stories, everything. Yeah,
let us know. We love you.
At loveless.generation. Right?
No, at generation.loveless.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
You got this.
Sorry, guys. At generation.loveless. Did I do it again?
No, you did it right.
Oh, I did it right? Okay. I'm just going to go fuck myself now.
Oh, my God. But please, yes, DM us at generation.loveless.
Okay.
On Instagram. Not that I've said that for the fifth time. I'm going to go now. But I just love you guys.
Okay, bye, guys. Love you.
La, 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 la.
Stop.